Dr. Christy Bergen, developmental psychologist with the University of Missouri, joining us on Show Me Today. Topic of discussion is about whether negative emotionality in teens is normal or not. Dr. Bergen, is it?
No, it's not. That's a very common myth. There was a classic study done, I think it was back in in either the 70s or 80s, where they gave kids beepers. They gave teenagers beepers, a group of younger children beepers, and their parents beepers. And they would beep them, just at random times during the day over the course of a few weeks and ask them just, how are you feeling? And they found that compared to their parents, teenagers reported being bored and tired and sleepy more often, and also more often feeling awkward and lonely. But most of the time, they reported themselves as being happy. So they're in a good mood much more often than they are in a bad mood on average. In this country, about 80% of adolescents are sleep deprived. So the sleepy part was not a surprise. And that may contribute sometimes to also why, teenagers might be a little grumpy or a little negative, but it is not normal for children to be in a bad mood more than they're in a good mood, even as they're teenagers. They did find in this particular study that the teenagers who were chronically unhappy tended to have a pile up of stressors in their lives. So, there might have been a move or a divorce in the family or, something that was disruptive to their well-being. It's really common for people to ascribe negativity in adolescence as being due to those raging hormones. That is a myth also. There's no relationship between mood and hormones. So we have a couple of really powerful myths going on about teenagers. In fact, I think that the myth about them being negative is really quite dangerous. Just to give you an example of that, Dylan Klebold, who was responsible for the Columbine mass school shooting, just a horrific event. His mother, many years later, got the courage to speak about what it was like to be a parent, of somebody who committed that kind of a crime and ended up committing suicide as well. And I'm sorry, this is a really hard topic, but one of the things that was chilling to me in her TED Talk, where she discusses being his parent, she said that he was sullen and he was unhappy and he kept to himself in his room a lot. And she said, but don't all 17-year-old boys do that? And the answer is no. So it's such a common myth that teenagers are unhappy and sullen and moody and so on, that when children behave in ways that suggest that they really need some serious help, they don't get it because people think that that's normative and it's not. So any teenager that is chronically unhappy needs to have some help.
Dr. Christy Bergen, developmental psychologist with the University of Missouri, joining us on Show Me Today. Topic of discussion is about whether negative emotionality in teens is normal or not. How do you know? Talk to me about what a parent should do in these cases.
Okay, so Elise, I actually heard two questions in there. So one, you were about to say, how do you know? Let me address that first, and then we can talk about how to help. So all human beings have negative emotions. We all do, and that's okay. In fact, it's necessary. It's good, because negative emotions do positive things for us as long as they don't overwhelm us or swamp us. So, you know, they motivate you, you know, like feelings of guilt and shame and anger. Anger can cause you to, you know, respond to injustices and right them. And guilt can make you repair harm you've done to somebody. You know, shame keeps you within the bounds of what's considered appropriate, you know, social behavior. So negative emotions are not in and of themselves problematic. And in fact, sometimes when you feel a little bit down, you actually focus better and can think better, and you're less likely to be gullible. So it's okay to experience negative emotions sometimes. It's the relationship of how often you experience negative to positive that really determines, you know, kind of the quality of your emotional life. Some people hold up this magic number of a balance of like 3-1. You know, you should have 3 positive emotions to each negative emotion. But I don't know that there really is a magical formula like that. But we do want to experience positive emotions more than negative emotions. And teenagers who do experience happiness much more than they experience sadness, or they experience joy more than they experience anger, tend to have higher achievement, and they're liked better. So, you know, good things come out of experiencing those positive emotions more than the negative. All kids are going to bicker sometimes, they're going to be angry sometimes, you know, that's normal. It's when you see it out of balance, like they're chronically unhappy, they're chronically sad, they're chronically angry, and depression and anger go together. So, you know, oftentimes when we see an angry child, you know, we may be looking at depression in a child. So it's really that kind of that balance. And would you describe this kid as chronically sullen, chronically unhappy, chronically sad? That's where you need to take action and do something about it. It's not the occasional, negative emotions, because that's just part of being a normal and emotionally healthy person. So to the question of what do you do then to help, there's several things that you can do. So if I had a child that was chronically unhappy or angry, first place I would look is at my relationship. So relationships are the foundation of children's sense of self-worth. When children feel that the adults around them that matter to them cherish them, then they feel like they have greater self-worth. Also, when you use power assertive discipline, so this goes back to our earlier discussion about use of discipline. When you use power assertive discipline, you create anger in children. And teenagers are particularly less tolerant of power assertive discipline. So you need to look at, how are you disciplining your child? Are you communicating to your child that you cherish them? And if you can take care of those two things, the odds are pretty good that you're going to have an emotionally healthy child. Also, children are very responsive to the emotions of the adults in their world who care about them. So children actually catch depression through contagion. So one of the things that you can do if you're concerned about the emotional well-being of your child is to, again, look at yourself and say, so what kinds of emotions am I communicating? Am I communicating, you know, more positive emotions than negative? And again, I want to go back to that concept that negative emotions are okay. You know, sometimes a child should see you angry or see you sad and see how you cope with those emotions. So you don't have to be over bright all the time. That's artificial and not real. And you probably aren't teaching children coping skills when you do that. So it's okay to have negative emotions, but just think about, what am I conveying most of the time? Is it positive or is it negative emotions? We also know that talking with children about their emotions helps them control their emotions better. And this kind of, you know, it seems sort of weird, because why would talking about emotions help you with them, but it does. It somehow gives children the capacity to almost leave themselves and think about, like, what am I feeling right now? Can I label that? You know, am I angry? Am I sad? Am I frustrated? Do I feel guilt? Do I feel shame? Because once they can label it, they can kind of work with it and exercise some control over those emotions. So talking about emotions with kids and helping them learn to label those feelings that they have actually gives them a little bit of power over the emotions themselves.
Dr. Christy Bergen, developmental psychologist with the University of Missouri, joining us on Show Me Today. Topic of discussion is about whether negative emotionality in teens is normal or not. Can you just recap what power assertive discipline is for our audience?
Sure. So power assertive discipline is where you control a child's behavior through resources or power that you have that they do not have. So it's things like, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then I'm going to take your driving privileges away. Or if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then you can't go to the dance Friday night. Or, you know, it's these things where you're controlling the child externally. It's contrasted with a more effective form of discipline, which is where you explain to the child why you want them to do what you want them to do. So reasoning with the child, like, I don't want you to go see that movie because when we watch violent movies, it helps us become desensitized to violence. It, you know, we're saying this is okay and it's not okay. You know, so you're explaining to a child why you don't want them to do what they're doing. The classic kind of situation that teenagers may get into if you've got multiple kids is the bickering. And teenagers are great at cutting their brothers and sisters down, right? So this is something that you do have to put a stop to, because brothers and sisters can influence the self-esteem of one another. And it's not okay for, you know, one sibling to make another sibling feel like they're less. So, you know, one of the things that you can do to stop that is to have a conversation with the one who's belittling the other. It's usually an older one, you know, that's belittling the younger one. You have a conversation with them, you know, you say, she's your sister forever, you know, and it's not okay for you to make her feel like she's a worthless human being. Your job as her brother or sister is to make her feel better about who she is. So I don't want to hear that kind of talk anymore. It's not okay in this household. You know, nobody has a right to do that to another human being. So you're not saying, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hear you say that again. You're going to your room. Okay, that's power assertion. The explaining to them why they shouldn't be doing it, that's reasoning with them. Reasoning does not make for angry teenagers, but power assertion does.
I don't know why, but I had it in my head that you were going to say that siblings will often bribe each other, because that's what happened in my household. If you don't do this, I'm going to tell mom and dad about this. I don't know why I had that in my head, but I did. Maybe because last week's episode was about bribes and rewards, even though it was parents and bribes and rewards.
Yeah. No, they do that. They definitely do that. We should have a segment on siblings someday. My boys once hung their sister's favorite stuffed animal, her little lambikins, from the fan in the family room under threat that if she didn't bake them cookies, they would not release lambikin from. So, yeah, I know. I know all about these sibling interactions.
Oh, naughty children. Okay, so keeping in mind what you had said earlier about the mother of the Columbine shooter, but what are some things that parents should not do when it comes to if there is negative emotionality in kids?
I think that you don't want to react with negative emotions. So when a child is very depressed slash angry, because they do often go together, you know, you don't want to be yelling at them and punishing them. You want to say, what's going on? You know, this isn't like you. I can see that something's wrong. Tell me what's happening. And if they say nothing, you just keep at it, you know, because they often will, you know, that they may push you away. And again, it's keep looking at, you know, what's happening in your relationship with that child and what can you do to restore it? You know, are you having fun together? Are you doing, you know, meaningful things together? Are you communicating that you really cherish that child?
Dr. Christy Bergen, developmental psychologist with the University of Missouri, joining us on Show Me Today. Topic of discussion is about whether negative emotionality in teens is normal or not. Anything else that you think that goes along with this that parents need to know about?
Yeah, so kids who tend to be good at regulating their own emotions so they don't get swamped with negative emotions often have better coping strategies. So we all have negative emotions sometimes. The issue is, what do we do with them? You know, how do we cope with them? It is a parent's role to teach those coping strategies to children. So when you have conversations with kids and they're telling you about something that's overwhelming them, you know, like I'm really scared about this presentation that's coming up, or, you know, I have this friend who's just really kind of nasty to me and I don't know how to, you know, deal with the situation, or, you know, all these various things that a child might say to you, you know, I'm having strong emotions about this and I don't know how to cope. You can suggest ways to cope. So, you know, there's some constructive ways to cope. If it's a situation you can't do anything about, one of the most constructive things you can do is to change the way you think about the situation. So try to think about it in a positive way, or try to change your goal, or, you know, like a child who's worked just so hard to make it to states in his sport, and he doesn't, you know, and he's crushed and he's overwhelmed. And you can say, well, okay, so positive side of this is, you know, you're not going to have as much practice time, and so you can spend your time doing this other thing that you like a lot, or, you know, so you reappraising or thinking about the situation in a different way is it's a powerful way of constructively coping with challenging emotions. And then sometimes it's, you know, distracting yourself, avoiding the situation is a constructive way of coping too. It just kind of depends on what the situation is. So helping kids actually, you know, manage those emotions or come up with coping strategies is very helpful as well, because kids get swamped when they don't have good coping strategies. And they often can't figure out how to cope on their own.
What if you have a teenager who, I know this is going to sound earth-shattering, but they think they're smarter than you and they don't want to listen to anything you have to say? Then what do you do?
Yeah, I think it was Mark Twain said something about when he was 14, he thought his father was like the dumbest man on earth. And then when he was 21, he thought, wow, he's really learned a lot. These few years. Yeah, not uncommon. I think that even when children don't look like they're listening to you, they are. You know, with my own kids, I often would have people come back later and tell me, you know, your son said that you said such and such to him. And I think, really, I didn't think he was listening when I was saying that. I think that's a pretty common experience. So go ahead and share your wisdom, even if they act like they're not interested. Or, you know, I remember one time when one of my kids was actually reading a book, and he had asked me a really challenging question that was hard for me to answer. I was kind of struggling with how to help him with this question. And he kept just looking at the book, like he didn't even want to make eye contact because this was a hard question for him to ask, you know, kind of embarrassing. And so it looked like he wasn't paying attention to me. And I was just talking, you know. And then at the end, he's still looking at his book and he goes, okay. So he, you know, he had been listening, but was a little too embarrassed to, you know, to make the eye contact and all that. So they are listening. They're listening.